Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, August the 5th, 2018. The sermon today, as we pursue our normal emphasis on Christ without compromise and the Bible without qualification, is the explosive prophetic coverage of Jeremiah with Ezekiel. That was an atomic explosion of enormous radiant illumination. It covers things up today and tomorrow. It covers things in between. It is an astonishing survey. It reminds me of the survey that's been made of Will P in the Sound in a remarkable presentation over a number of walls. This is a presentation in word, but the pictures might as well be an example of what's in that gallery. Everything configured and exposed in a remarkable sense on the walls of a large room. The explosive prophetic coverage. Let's look at it in three steps. The painful process. The intermediate period that's on the way to here from there. And the ultimate rest, that's on the way from here to the end. The painful process. Again and again you see this theme. Have you noticed it? Look at Jeremiah 31, 27 and 28. After this, 26 to 28, I awoke and looked around and my sleep was sweet to me. The prophet has been having a divine illumination within. Behold, says he in verse 27, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down discipline, punishment for idolatry and so on, to throw down, to destroy and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. That's one of them. The minus, the immense disciplinary negative. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The disciplinary negative. What Hitler did was only the end of a long process in which Europe was hideously involved, as was Russia. The negative, but then the positive. As I broke down in punishment for the endless errancy of spirit, turning from the things of God to mix them with the world, just as the churches are doing in these last days of the Gentile period, so it was doing in those days of the Jewish period of history, when it was the primary missionary body. As I have watched to pluck up, break down, so when the positive comes, I will watch over to build and to plant. Watch, Mr. Putin. Ezekiel 37:38 has much to say that you might do well to read concerning a northern power seeking to take over. Let's look at another example of the same thing. In Jeremiah 32:42-3. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. Notice, promise, not just told. It's a promise. Not only is God speaking authoritative because it's God, this is a promise within that speaking, a particularized nugget of future history tossed out so we can understand times like now from 1948 with their return. It was Christ who said that when Jerusalem was no more trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, that is, captured by international others than the Jews, When the Jews are back, then his return is near. Luke 21:24. As I have wrought all this great calamity, says 42:43, and fields will be bought, of which you say, it is desolate. And so it was during that Ottoman period. It is desolate without man or beast. It's been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields. And look again at 33:6-12 of Jeremiah. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity in which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble. Yes. Notice how conspicuously manifest it is to be. Already the enormous prosperity commercially of Israel is noteworthy, as are its enormous intellectual prestige and electronic and similar advance as an innovator par excellence, with entrepreneurial activities extraordinary, and other nations coming in to join in it, like a new California Valley, Silicon Valley. Thus says the Lord again, verse 10 of Jeremiah 33, there shall be heard in this place, of which you say, it is desolate, without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. As Zechariah tells us, there is to be a mass conversion. And there have been massive things like that in the 1850s and on in Israel. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I'll cause the captives of the land to return as at the first. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and all the cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. Look at verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah in those days and at that time. Notice this verse 15. In what days? In the days of joy, in the days of return, as at the first of Israel. In those days, there is coming an epoch, a messianic epoch, which is the culmination of the restoration of Israel. Look at it. In those days, is that not clear enough? And at that time, not some other time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. And you see in Zechariah, beyond any question, that that is the meaning, as in Isaiah 53, a root out of a dry ground, sometime referred to as a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will be saved. Brought to safety, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Not in our works, as appears to be the case with the estimate of the religion of our Prime Minister Turnbull. Our works, what we've done, it will all be assessed. What Christ has done is left out in the review which has been given in the Australian concerning this matter. This shall be named the Lord our righteousness, as in Habakkuk, as in Romans. The Lord, Romans 5:17, the righteousness of God as a gift is the foundation for anything we do. It's the way of entry, in order that having entered the college of Christ, we may, having had our expenses paid through his redemption, work with the joy of having our place fulfilled. And thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day. 33:20. and my covenant with the night. If you can alter the astronomical situation of this earth, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may be broken also with David, my servant, and that covenant for the Christ to come, who would rule the earth. And he shall have not have a son to reign on his throne with the Levites, the ministers, and my ministry. Then David will lack the promise. But unless you can change the astronomical realities, don't pretend that you can stop what's coming to Israel. 33:12. How poignant. In this place, where is it laid desolate? Without man and without beast, and all the cities of shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. Poignancy speak, that verse, I think. Certainly a marvelous pinnacle of its beauty. Now, we come to the intermediate period. In this intermediate period, we're still lost in the negative preliminary and the prelude and the punishment for a race which, as a nation, not in any other sense, has yet to come, as a nation, has yet to make the testimony, not crucify him, that his blood be upon ourselves and our children. But thank God, he was crucified. They shall look upon me, says the Lord in Zechariah 12, whom they have pierced. Now let's have a look at this intermediate period before that blessed thing happens, which is associated so intimately with the overthrow of those who would invade Israel in the modern period, that is after their return, which is the point of cleavage of all history in this crucial element. It's pivotal. The return of the Jews to Jerusalem happens once in a couple of thousand years. It's not exactly repetitive, is it? The intermediate period, look at some of the horrendous things to happen. A voice was heard, 31:15 of Jeremiah. Oh yes, a voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. That, of course, refers to the horrendous slaughter wrought through Herod. Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded. There's going to be such a restoration. It indicates in Isaiah that there's going to be an enormous gap in the presence of the children, and it's going to be fantastically, unbelievably an impact when they come back. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Before, verse 7, she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? Yes, it was. On May the 15th, 1948. Yes, it was. This is looking forward to those days. In this vastly messianic book, continually coming to the Messiah. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Yes, she did. Before she'd even become an entity ruling, her independence was stated. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says the Lord? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her. Yes, Jerusalem. That's what Jeremiah 12:6 says. and she shall be delivered in Jerusalem. Yes, Jerusalem. It emphasizes it. It means what it says. The theologians who want to make it mean what it doesn't say, even when it's in the heart of enormous evidence, enormous emphasis, an enormous peripheral circumstantial indication of what it's talking about in terms of the history of Israel, even they have got to realize that there comes a time when you can palaver no more. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. That you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom. In other words, there is to come a spiritual intimacy. On the one hand, those who rejoice her with her, on the other hand, she who rejoices all in one gospel, as in Romans 11. One gospel, one tree, one restoration of the Gentiles who have been grafted in. All as clear as the sunshine in a desert on a hot day. Ephraim 31:18. This shows you by this highly metaphorical expression of a highly physical reality and spiritual reality, this shows you the enormous change, and therefore reflects on the difficulties suffered before that change. But how poignantly is expressed Jeremiah 31 in this intermediate range, drawing near to the end. 31:16, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, says the Lord. And they who come back from the land of the enemy. There's hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. You have chastised me, says Ephraim, inverted commas here. You have chastised me. And I was chastised, you see, that negative beginning. Like an untrained bull, restore me, and I will return. For you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. And then the Lord resuming, is Ephraim my dear son? The love back of the repentance and the restoration. Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, says the Lord. And that goes on to speak of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31 and following, part of the everlasting realities now given to Israel as to the Gentiles. The new covenant, changing the heart and the mind and the spirit. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, because no saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And then it says in verse 35 of Jeremiah 31, mirroring what it has in 33, the same emphatic emphasis. No, that's not a ridiculous duplication. That's a wake-up call to realize this is a colossal emphasis. Who gives the sun for light, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart, the astronomical, from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. If heaven above can be measured, the foundation of the earth searched, why did we learn to read if we won't read what is there? Searched out beneath, I will also cast off and see. If you can reorganize the heavens, then I will remove Israel. Not otherwise. It's going to happen. It has happened. As I was saying, this comes into the contemporary period. And then Jeremiah 31:22. In this, before coming to the new covenant, it says, set up signposts, make landmarks. 31:21. Set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O Virgin of Israel. There is the Father's heart appealing before these magnificent events come. How long will you get about, O you backsliding daughter? Now listen to the thing which goes along with the new covenant, which comes a few verses later. The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. This is to be a case where there's not just a missing father. There's a present spiritual father by the name of God. A woman shall encompass a man. Not a biological freak. A spiritual subsidence of the human with the restoration through the Father. He shall be called my son, as you read in Matthew. And the product, as you read in Matthew again, of the virgin prophecy. He, the son, child of a virgin. So we have these various things. Stop, you're getting about. I'm going to do a new thing. New covenant. New heart. Your mind, your spirit, and a Messiah who will be equal with God. The Messiah himself, as you read in Isaiah 11, of his mighty power as he rules the earth. Yes, that's why none of the things that are moving, democracy is getting bewildered, totalitarianism is infantile. As we come forth in Isaiah 11, a rod from the stem of Jesse, that's David's son. And a branch, that's the one mentioned in Zechariah, who will bear, B-E-A-R, meaning carry, the glory. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, but decide by the hearing of his ears. We're dealing with spiritual realms with God himself when he is interested in incarnation. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Needn't run, worry about Kim and the Chinese president, Putin. He shall strike the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. Notice, by the way, he shall slay the wicked. And faithfulness the belt of his waist. So all these things we find in the intermediate period. And we come to the no mores, the things which will change as we move into the blessed latter days. Look at Ezekiel 37:23-24. They shall not defile themselves anymore. There's going to be a change. It is going to be permanent. It is not going to be a phase. They shall not defile themselves any more. Why? Because their hearts are changed. Because there's a new covenant. Because the Messiah is ruling. They shall not defile themselves any more. And we're seeing step by step since 1948. Different elements, like the desert flowering like the rose, like the enormous output, the tremendous prosperity, the vast victories over almost inconceivable mismatch of odds against them, of invading peoples. they shall not defile them. There's going to be a change. This comes when the thing is culminated in the return of Christ to rule on earth. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols. They've been doing it, like the Gentiles, for quite a long time, many of the Gentiles. Nor with their detestable things. Nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people and I will be their God. David, my servant. Now, obviously, this refers to the promised Messiah coming from David, equal with God. David, my servant, and they shall all have one shepherd. They also shall walk in my judgment and observe my statutes. Moreover, I'll make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant. That's the everlasting covenant mentioned in Hebrews. That's the one which was available. That's the one which some Gentiles have taken. That's the one which, as in Romans 11, they will take also. And so we have this intermediate period now coming into the no mores. And then there's another one. Let's look at Ezekiel 36:15. Let's start off with 13. Behold, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord. More will I let you hear the taunts. T-A-U-N-T-S. You won't any more hear the taunts. The taunts of the Arabs. Some of their literature called them apes and pigs. Taunts. Not allowed to be there. Destroy them, says Iran's president of his day. They must be pushed into the sea, said Nasser. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations anymore. That's a simple fact. That's coming. Nor bear the reproach of the peoples anymore. Nor shall you cause your nation to stumble anymore, he says. Personalizing the nation. No more will you be a graveyard. No more will you be a funeral scene at the national level. You won't hear those taunts anymore. Nor will I let you hear them. And look at Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I restore health to you and heal your wounds. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Isn't that what we are hearing, and isn't it what we have heard? The Jews, didn't we read of Harvard at one stage being concerned at getting too many Jews, eh? Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents. The cheek of them, no place for Zion, eh? The place that the Lord said, sure, they've been punished. But that was step one. Then the plus, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places, that his city shall be built upon its own mounds. The words have meaning. The palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. Verse 20, their children also shall be as before. The part we were reading from Isaiah 66, it shall be said, look at all these children of mine, says the Jerusalem which is restored. Where have they come from? A nation born in a day. And again and again and again we read of the terrific action that the Lord will physically take. As in Isaiah 66 and Deuteronomy 32, as in Micah 7, the tremendous desolatory action of the desolators. For the Lord will desolate the desolators. He will attack the attackers. He will deal with those who say, Zion, oh, no place for her. Is that so, says the Lord? No more. So you hear the taunts because the negative has become the plus. So we're moving into the territory, thus they have despised my people if they should no longer be a nation. in Jeremiah 33:24. You can't be a nation, we won't let you. Oh, so humanity is going to turn God into poetry. Is that the way it is to be? Is that what we hear from the heights of Canberra? Some of them. Forever. The restoration. It's regal. The Messiah who shall rule and bear the glory. It's transformative. Another change in heart and mind and situation, and Jerusalem shall be there. Don't you worry. Even in Jerusalem, says Zechariah 12:6. I mean what I say. An everlasting covenant. Look at all these finalities. Look at this complex of coordinates. Look at the mutual independence of all these elements, like a body. No more taunts. Ex-taunts. Ex-relapse. Look at Ezekiel 37:23. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things. David, my servant, shall be king over them. Spiritual stampede, Ezekiel 36:25-26. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. The baptismic, the baptismal ceremony and signal. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. The baptismal signal of sprinkling. It was the sprinkling which was used in the purification, as you find in the Old Testament, continually. Where there was blood purification, sprinkling was the mode. Even with Moses, the book and the sprinkling of the altar and so forth. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water. That's what Zechariah is predicting. On you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your fullness and from all your idols. The water, of course, from the, instead of the blood, the females are included explicitly in the new covenant. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. No relapse. The spiritual stampede. Spiritual culmination and combination. No more mockers. We've already looked at that. No more taunts. Return and not at all. Go in their old ways. No more you do these things. There is the explosive prophet coverage of Jeremiah with Ezekiel and a little Isaiah added. These are the last days. We are in that phase of the situation. Like the downstroke of the piston, which puts out the power to turn the wheels. Now is the time to repent. Oh, repentance is still an open avenue indeed, an invitational scenario. What did Jesus say? Repent! At the opening of his ministry, for the kingdom of heaven has swept upon you. God didn't forget about what is now seen as the multiplied and munificent marvel called the human body, the linguistic mathematical combination at the heights of what is conceivable and far beyond what man yet understands, which constitutes the trillions of connections of cells that make up what allows us to think with logic and to find by logic the logic which God put into the world so that science could see the repetitious character of the laws and so make itself look good when it is God who put the minds into us and the laws into nature which we could explore and which we could exhibit as if we were something marvelous. We're only discovering what he put there with the minds that he put there, with the logic he put in both, which matches. Appalling, willful ignorance. Of course, that's what God has said. The Jews were guilty. The Gentiles are guilty. They're going that way. There's still a church left, and there will be. But the devil has a lot of resources, and he will be fully exposed before his final time. Amen. Now, Father, we thank you for the wonderful works that you put into the human body, into the human world, into the astronomical marvels, into the size, the sheer wonderful size of the astronomical marvels, and the fact that in one human body, the astronomical size miniaturized beyond anything we can do in miniaturization, science or not science, our knowledge is far too much touted. That's very wonderful what we can find out from what the Lord has done. The myriads cells in one body, the myriads of stars in one universe, the myriads of depths to be explored like spiritual scuba divers. Our Father, how wonderful thou art. Thou hast not forgotten thy people. Thy hand is on all sides, whether it's in prophecy or whether it's in history or whether it's in biology or wherever it is. Marvels upon marvels. Stupendous care. The redemption which came when God became man. He didn't think it robbery, being in the form of God, to be equal with God, says Paul in Philippians 2. God put himself in his own eternal expression, his word, as man, that he might take man's penalty for whosoever received it, which brings you back to John 16. Amen.